The Guardian.
Guardian Holiday Offers is pleased to bring you a great selection of worldwide trips from our trusted partners. From cultural tours and adventure holidays to river cruises and cottage breaks, we have something for everyone. To find your perfect break, go to guardian.co.uk/travel with us. That's guardian.co.uk/travel with us.
Football Weekly Extra.
Today, football world agog as League Cup runneth over with some of the most dramatic matches English football's ever seen. Craziness at the Mad Stad. Another stunner at Stamford Bridge. Bradford and Wigan's clash, strangely nothing to do with the Tour de France. And Brendan Rodgers with a Proustian struggle involving Swans and the Recherche de Temps Perdu. The pot says, amazing, and imagine if these games had actually meant something. With that, it's on to the weekend. We preview the action to come, including Man United, Arsenal, and RVP reunion, West Ham, Man City, and Liverpool, Newcastle, and remembers the far-off innocent days when a 4-3 was considered high-scoring. All of that plus posts and more in Football Weekly Extra. Very special show on the way. Barry Glendenning's here.
Hi,
Barry.
Hello.
Hi, Tom Lutz.
Hello.
Jacob Steinberg.
Hello.
Wow.
Wow.
Just wow, Jacob. Scrap the league and have a kamikaze knockout cup competition instead.
I've got a theory, actually.
Ooh. Mm.
None of the managers you saw last night or on Tuesday night are actually who you think they are.
Ooh.
They're all cleverly disguised Kevin Keegan clones.
Ah, it's the Keegan. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. Good. Schoolyard football, ahoy.
Just wait till United sign Asprilla in January. Then we'll know.
Yeah. That's a fascinating thing. Do you prefer the Keegan clone invasion to the...
It was fun. It was good. Last night was better, I thought, than Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah. It was just a higher class of game, I thought. Because, you know, Hazard and Oscar and Mata were playing some really good goals. Whereas Reading Arsenal was kind of, it was just, the defending was terrible.
Yeah.
It was almost too much.
Yeah.
Almost too many goals.
Jonathan Wilson wasn't available for comment this morning, nor will be for many weeks to come, I suspect.
I was talking to Jonathan Wilson yesterday. He's in Argentina.
Yeah.
So he's missed all this.
Yeah. Well, Michael Donaghy tweeted, was Reading Arsenal actually a good game? You kind of answered this already, Jacob. Or do we overrate goals?
It was a good spectacle, but it wasn't a good game.
It was a kind of good game.
It was a great game.
Mm. It was hilarious, but...
Yeah. I think that it was quite interesting to see Arsene Wenger during the match. Even when they'd come back from 4-0 down, he still didn't look particularly pleased.
Well, this is only his fifth trophy on his list, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although he does seem to be taking it seriously, because, what, 6-1? 6-1 against Coventry in the previous round, and then another seven goals here.
7-5, insert your own tennis score joke.
Wow, absolutely. Have you ever seen a game like it?
I haven't seen a game with that many goals, but I do remember, as a supporter, a similar game.
Was this the McLeish Birmingham era?
Yeah, it was pretty hard to keep track of all the goals during that era. But I remember we were 4-1 up against Swindon, and I was listening on the radio, and I turned off about 50 minutes maybe in, and then went to Sainsbury's, and when I turned back on again, Swindon had won 6-4.
Ooh.
So not quite as exciting as that, but yeah.
There was some poor Arsenal fan as well on Tuesday night. He was shown leaving, I think, when Reading went 4-0 up, and he was shown, you know, trooping down to the exit looking very upset. And he was, you know, personified as the fickle football fan going home in disgust, blah, blah, blah. But it turned out that he was just going down to get the drinks in at half time. And he was getting a head start on the queues. And he was able to prove, under a look, I stayed till the end.
They apologise, I think, no?
I can understand why someone might leave the Majeski or the Majeski Stadium area, because it is a bugger to get out of if you're not driving.
And they play darts music after goals. So.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
That's why they lost.
Yeah.
It's a lot of darts music.
Mm. Mm. Theo Walcott. New Thierry Henry role straight at the middle. He's ready for it, says Wenger. Can we take anything seriously from this game?
Well, Reading was so bad defensively, but he is a really good finisher when he's in that position. Mm. I don't like him out when he's not one on one with someone, but with the goalkeeper. But when he is, that first goal, you know, was really clinically taken. A little trip over the goalkeeper, and I think as well, Wenger was saying he knew where to be in the right place for the
rebound
for the hat trick goal.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. A whopping 7-5 win. Reading, Brian McDermott gave them 2 days off to recover from that. They've got a big game coming up this weekend at QPR, which we'll talk more about later, although you might want to throw something in now, Barry.
I was just going to say, I think they'll need more than 2 days to recover from that, won't they?
Well, they've now scored 8 goals in 2 games and not won either of them.
That's most unfortunate.
It is, isn't it?
Careless, even.
Careless, yeah. Reading, of course, won 3-2 at QPR in the last round of the League Cup. Interesting. Interesting. Anyway, that's a big game coming up this weekend. Not quite as big, many would say, as Arsenal's trip to Old Trafford. 8-2, of course, to United there last year. There could be goals in this one when you consider how United performed on Wednesday night at Stamford Bridge, putting another 4-plus Chelsea, although Chelsea this time came up with 5. Do you want to talk about the game or the comedy banners?
We can do both.
Comedy banners it is, Tom. If you missed them, and they've kind of been picked up by a lot of media sources, there was one echoing the JT banner that said Clattenburg, referee, leader, legend, and then a kind of hand-sprayed sheet that said CFC, standing up to racism since last Sunday. All very good.
I think one of the reasons that Chelsea maybe edged it is they did have a slightly stronger side, particularly the subs that came on. I think Hazard and Oscar came on, and they started with Mata, Kellen Cech as well. So they did have a slightly stronger side than United, and Hazard was excellent when he came on as well. Was it for the winning goal where he just kind of turned and played him in? It was really good. But I mean, I think both these games were games that English football needed after the last few weeks. We're actually talking about what happened on the pitch rather than off it. And I think, as you kind of touched on, the atmosphere last night, which was perhaps a bit lighter than recently. And I think one of the reasons, as well as the crazy scoreline, was you didn't kind of have Ferdinand, Cole, Rooney or Terry playing quite often the lightning rods for a lot of fans' ire. And that kind of creates a bad atmosphere at those games as well.
You did have Chicharito playing, and once again he scored.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. He's on fire.
Yeah.
All right. Will he be in the starting lineup, do you think, this weekend?
No.
He is getting back to that player he was a few years ago, someone you can bring on and score goals if you're behind as well. So
right.
I think that's definitely been something that Ferguson will have been pleased with over the last few weeks.
Yeah. Well, plenty for Dimitero to be pleased with. Chelsea got the payback they wanted after the perceived injustices of Sunday's clash. This weekend, they're going to be at Swansea. But Man United, as we say, hosting Arsenal. And they're now just 1 point off the top of the table, of course, after Sunday's win at Old Trafford. So the defeat last night, all about the youth getting found out in extra time. That was Sir Alex Ferguson's... Well,
the youth and Nani, he largely pointed his big finger of blame at Nani, but did specifically blame, well, not blame, but said the two centre halves were too young and their inexperience cost them. I thought that was possibly accurate, but not necessarily a particularly kind thing to say. It's not his job to be kinder, but
they don't look ready for big games.
I don't think they do, but
surely he would have known they were inexperienced before he put them.
Well, yeah, but that's the way they get experience. I think it just says that he's got bigger fish to fry than the League Cup.
I didn't think they were terrible. I didn't think they particularly deserved to be singled out. Like,
did you not think Wooten was pretty terrible? Anyway, well, there you go. Unlikely to be like Chicharito in the starting lineup on when are they playing? Is it Saturday or Sunday?
It's Saturday.
He, like Chicharito, unlikely to be in the starting lineup. That much we can probably say Saturday lunchtime when they take on Arsenal. I mentioned the fact that it was 8-2 last season. Very different game, though, would you say? That was a very understrength Arsenal team. I was intrigued to read a post on Football 365 where somebody went through the two teams and said, you know, which player for player, who would you have? And the majority of the players, he makes a fair case for Arsenal actually having the better option.
This season?
This time around, yeah.
Well, who does he say?
All right, well, De Gea and Chesney, close call, arguable.
De Gea.
All right, but it's close. Chesney may not be available. Raphael or Sagna? Everall Gibbs? See, if you throw Santos in there, the whole theory begins to get a little bit shaky. Ferdinand or Vermaelen?
Ferdinand.
Really?
Yeah, Vermaelen's a...
Really, Jacob? Jacob's rubbishing this poor guy's theory. Does anyone want to step up for Arsenal here?
That poor guy.
Yep. Okay. Evans or Mertesacker?
Mertesacker.
Yeah, thank you. Carrick or Arteta, Valencia or Cazorla, Young or Wilshere, Cleverley or Walcott, Rooney or Giroud. That's Rooney, perhaps. Yeah. Robin van Persie or Podolski? Robin van Persie, yeah? Up against his old Gunner chums.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect Manchester United to win this. But I would expect both teams to score and Manchester United to win. Their record against Arsenal in recent years is very good. They've won 8 out of 10. I think only lost one. So the stats, which occasionally lie, would suggest United should win this at a canter.
Mm.
And I know people say, oh, well, what difference does it make what happened 5 years ago? But the stats do tend to stack up.
All right. Arsenal's form against the big teams. They lost against Chelsea at home. But, Jacob, away in Manchester last time, got a draw.
They did, yeah. They played really well in that game as well. Dominated it for long periods. And then it was a classic Arsenal giveaway, a sloppy goal from a set piece.
Was that the Diaby game before he got injured?
That was when he dominated midfield in that game. And then he got injured a week later against Chelsea and hasn't played since. But they've got a nice replacement in Jack Wilshere.
Well, yeah, that's interesting.
He's kind of feeling his way back in. But I think for all the excitement that come back in the last two games, Arsenal have barely beaten QPR at home and gone 4-0 down against Reading.
One before that, they lost at Norwich 1-0.
Yeah.
Scrape past QPR, 4-0 down against... Yeah, it doesn't look good, does it? But football's a crazy sport. Crazy, Tom.
But it's interesting we're talking about Walcott, what he's going to do for Walcott, whether he trusts him to play as kind of a striker against teams like Reading in the Capital One Cup, but in big games, will he go with him? And whether that'll impact on Walcott's decision to stay at Arsenal with kind of Liverpool, Juventus possibly interested in him.
He's probably a better bet than Jovinho in that role, if you're going to play... sort of a false nine kind of player in that central role, then he's much better finisher than Jovinho, much more clear.
I'd go with him personally, but...
With Walcott?
Yeah.
Right, okay, cool. Could be an interesting weekend, this, because you've got United just 1 point off the top of the table, Arsenal whopping 7 points behind, but Chelsea away at Swansea. Upsets this weekend, Barry?
I don't really see an upset there. They have similar strengths, but Swansea have a lot more weaknesses than Chelsea, and I would imagine Chelsea will beat them. But we make these predictions every week. We get some right, we get some wrong. Sometimes we end up looking really, really stupid. But I can't see Swansea beating Chelsea.
Really? Okay, all right.
The cameras at Stamford Bridge last night occasionally pan to Roman Abramovich, who was sitting there entertaining his old mucker, Andrei Shevchenko.
Yeah.
And he was occasionally looking in a slough of despair. But the team are actually playing the way he wants now. They're a bit porous at the back, but that's always going to happen when you've got Mata, Ramirez and Hazard as your sort of three-pronged axis behind the striker. I think rather than have someone back in defence and sacrifice one of them, they possibly need to get a better striker.
All right. Torre's back from his one-game suspension for this game, which is a shame because it means that Daniel Sturridge will have to exit the lineup. Or will it?
Well, that's... You'd have to ask Team Selection's Jacob Steinberg that one.
Right.
The final word.
Well, Swansea, of course, who host Chelsea, are coming off a big win in the League Cup themselves. And we'll be talking about that right after this. How about those other League Cup fourth round matches? They all sorts of drama. The quarter-final lineup's now been decided, of course. You've got your Leeds-Chelsea, the Ken Bates derby. Ooh. League Two's Bradford.
That's a derby where you really want both teams to lose, isn't it? The Ken Bates derby.
Fans of both sides will be hoping their team wins.
Oh, no, of course they will. I would imagine that'll be the one that gets on TV.
Because it's a curious lineup, isn't it? Yeah, League Two's Bradford, who put out Wigan. We'll be taking on Arsenal and Norwich. You've got Aston Villa. I'm predicting a sizzler there. And Swansea are up against Borough after yet another dismal, dismal Sunderland performance. Saw Borough beat them in the derby.
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is quite possibly a shameful admission. I bet on Middlesbrough to win
that
game. Yeah.
Did you? Did you see Martin O'Neill in his post-match interview? he could barely make eye contact with the reporter. He was basically staring at the floor, and then right at the end, he kind of raised his eyes, kind of with almost a pleading look there. I don't know what's going on at Stadium of Light.
I don't know either, but complacency seems to be a huge problem with the players, and they've nothing to be complacent about at all. I think there's too many players there who are too comfortable in their positions, and no matter how badly they play, they still get picked because there's no one to come in and replace them.
They've had good players under probably each of the last three managers, under Keane, under Bruce, and under O'Neill. And they, and each season they start, and you think, well, this looks like a team that could maybe not probably finish in the Champions League, but kind of push for a Europa League place. And then they just start, the season starts, and they're rubbish. I mean, what's going on?
Well, we don't know. Well, yeah, every week but we ask the
question. I've got some good Sunderland stats.
Oh, not again.
Yeah.
Go on.
Yeah. No, these are good.
Yep.
Well, first of all, their top scorer in October is Demba Ba.
Yep.
You got with love one that. Goal.
Yep. He plays for Newcastle.
Yes. They have scored 6 goals in the league this season.
Yep.
5 of which were scored by Stephen Fletcher, 1 by Demba Ba.
Right.
They have won one of their last 16 Premier League matches. And they're playing Villa on Saturday.
Yep.
That could be end of days stuff, like my eyes. if you know, anyone who goes to see that match, it's a match you won't be able to unsee.
Right.
And it will only last 90 minutes, but I'd say it could feel like a hell of a lot longer.
Right. We're going back to Leeds anyway, because they knocked out Southampton. It was quite exciting, wasn't it? They put out Everton in the previous round, and then Southampton here. Now, a lot of rumours yesterday that Nigel Adkins was going to be being shown the door by Nicola Cortesi, the Southampton head honcho, but I don't think there's been any further developments on that. Has there, Tom? You were in early today.
The good news for Southampton is that Alan Shearer is rumoured to be Adkins' replacement.
Really?
Yeah.
Rather than, say, man just down the road, Harry Redknapp?
Yeah, rather than someone that can manage a football club.
Harry Redknapp has relegated Southampton before. I don't think he'd be welcome around those parts.
Do you think?
I don't.
All right, then.
Robbie Fowler, yeah. I didn't see that game, but Robbie Fowler was watching it for Sky. And he said it was the worst performance he had ever seen by a Premier League football team.
Right. Okay. They did field a largely reserve side, Southampton, for this match. They've got a big game coming up at the weekend at West Brom.
The thing is, it's not actually at the weekend. It's not till Monday, as far as I know. So there was no excuse for them to field a reserve team for that game.
Correct on that. It is Monday evening, yeah. When I mentioned Luke Varney, if you haven't seen it, you might want to check out on a Goals website, Luke Varney's scuffed miss, which his manager Neil Warnock called the miss of the century, although possibly he hadn't seen Stuart Downing's plum effort in the Liverpool Swansea game. Right, no, he hadn't, because it was the day before, points out producer Ben. Yes, the very next day, Stuart Downing with his very own entry into that little category in what was a pretty abject episode of being Liverpool, Tom.
Yeah, and it's not like Swansea are exactly on a hot streak at the moment either. I think mm-hmm. they've won in the last 7 league games, and I think for kind of in Brendan Rodgers' defence, Cole, Henderson, Downing all played, were all rubbish, but they're not his signings.
Right. I think we know the names in those three envelopes now, actually, and he was being quite specific after the game. It is a thin squad, said Brendan Rodgers. We can't keep playing Steven Gerrard or Luis Suarez. Joe Allen was virtually playing on his own in the first half in midfield, with all due respect. This is where the club is at. I knew the size of the job here. Joe Cole had an opportunity. The club has invested an astronomical sum of money on a talented player. He has to seize his opportunities. Will he get any others, though, after that?
Why is he bothered saying with all due respect?
Yeah. Anyway, well, there you go. Liverpool knocked out of the League Cup. Is that important to them, or is it just yet another bit of bad news?
Well, it's a trophy.
They didn't say Dalglish, did it?
But they are the holders.
Yeah, it's a trophy they actually managed to win.
Right.
And Brad Jones was quite good in that game as well, which is kind of even more concerning. It could have been worse if he hadn't been on form.
Well, indeed. Henderson playing at right back in that game, isn't it?
Yeah, so, I mean, although it's not Rodgers' signings, he still kind of played him.
But he did say he was going to play him as a full-back some time ago, didn't he?
And he's not really sure where Downing's going to be, because he said, oh, well, he's going to be a defender, but then apparently he's playing midfield last night. So
anyway, he doesn't like, he plays at the back?
Yep.
Right. Interesting. Interesting. Oh, there you go. Liverpool, anyway, taking 2 steps backwards after what had been an impressive performance in the derby. This weekend, will they step forward again as they take on Newcastle? Yes. They're at home, which is bad news because they're rubbish at home.
Yeah, but Newcastle are rubbish at Anfield.
Oh, yeah.
They haven't won there since 1995 or 96, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And Newcastle's record against Liverpool isn't particularly bad, but it is terrible at Anfield.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't been doing well away from home this season. So it's a team that's bad at home playing a team that's bad away from home.
All right, then.
Another cracker to look forward to.
Yeah.
Interestingly, or not, as the case may be, in six of the last eight games between these sides, the winning team has scored exactly three goals.
That is interesting. Liverpool face a difficult week after this game against Newcastle on Sunday. They're away at Anzhi in Grozny. Then they're away at the equally welcoming Chelsea before being at home to Wigan. I'm not sure if that last one's necessarily a mammoth game, but there you go. Moving on. Oh, quick word for Di Canio. Swindon, Aston Villa. Plucky Swindon. Plucky Robbins coming back from two goals down against Villa and then, of course, pipped at the post by Villa goal machine Benteke.
Di Canio doesn't have very good memories of playing against Villa in the Carling Cup. Yeah. In 99, West Ham played them in the quarterfinals of the League Cup.
Right.
And played Villa in the quarterfinals of the League Cup. And it was 1-1 in the last minute, and then Dion Dublin scored a last-minute goal. West Ham went straight up the other end from the kickoff, and Di Canio scored and won a penalty. Di Canio scored it, went to penalties. West Ham won it. Gareth Southgate missed the decisive penalty, which was quite amusing. So they're in the semi-finals. They're playing Leicester. It looks like they're going to win the cup.
And so this has actually nothing to do with
Villa.
Two
days later, it's revealed that West Ham put on an ineligible player who'd already played in the cup. They had to replay the game. It went to extra time again. It was 2-1 to Villa, and then Di Canio missed a penalty.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah. And Villa...
Who was that player? The ineligible
Manny
player?
Omoyinni.
Oh, so a good one, then.
A really good one. They put him on for 5 minutes at the end. He didn't touch the ball. He didn't take a penalty.
Who was the manager?
Redknapp.
Oh.
Yeah. And they didn't realise he played on loan for Gillingham in the first round.
Surely he realised he'd played
He didn't. He never played for West Ham again. And I think when I told Mike Adamson about it, he said, oh, I think I played against him when I was in some amateur league in Oxford a few years ago. So, yeah.
Of course, you do wonder sometimes about how aware certain players are of what's going
on.
Yeah, the Arsenal players who threw their shirts into the crowd because they thought the game was over.
Right.
Did they think they won or that they...
No, they thought it was going to replay. Right. I think. It was at 4-4 at this point. No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've had Harry Redknapp say before about Benoit Asso Okoto saying he goes on the field, he hasn't a clue what's going on, like what competition it is, whether it's the FA Cup or the Premier League, doesn't know, isn't that bothered, just gets on with it, and once the game's over, that's it. So, yeah, it's kind of intriguing that someone could take so little interest in their work.
Well, there you go. So now, a fascinating story, and much more interesting than the one of him saying Aston Villa are rubbish and going down and we're going up, or whatever he was miming at the crowd at the county.
Is he getting in trouble for that?
I don't... Well, is he?
Well, I don't know. I'm just... You know, people are very quick to get offended these days at football matches.
Well, yes. Now, in other news... Well, we talked about QPR Reading, didn't we? West Ham, speaking of whom, they've got a big game against Man City this weekend, haven't they?
Yeah. Hard one.
What do you think about that one, Jacob?
I think they are going to get a bit of a hammering.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I mean West Ham, not
yeah, I know. I guess that. Andy Carroll yet to score, but he does have a good record against the Citizens.
Yeah, he's been okay. He's had a couple of very good games and then a couple where he's been a bit quiet. He had a chance against Wigan on when they lost to Wigan, and he just sort of took his eye off the ball and it just ran out for a goal kick.
Mm.
So, you know, he's if you're saying that in January you want to spend 20 million on him or whatever that Liverpool are asking for, he's still not quite sure whether he's worth that amount.
Right.
You know, the 35 million is kind of skewing it. He is suited to the way they play and perfect for it, but I wouldn't look at him and say this is a guy who's, you know, one of the best strikers in Europe, even though he's effective in the Allardyce template.
Mm. He just needs one to go in and then, you know, open the floodgates.
Yeah, he's missed a couple as well.
Right.
But also there have been games where he hasn't really had... I mean, he missed a few against Arsenal, but then he hasn't really had a lot of other chances, so he's not getting into a really...
Well, he was out injured for a while as well, no?
Yeah, but he's now played three or four games in a row.
Right.
But he's causing a lot of havoc in certain ways. You know, when they played against Southampton, they just sort of couldn't handle him, and the defender ended up yanking him down by his ponytail.
Exactly.
Yeah,
this could be a big opportunity, a good time to be playing Man City because Micah Richards is out for 4 months. So there's nobody there really to explain the defensive strategy to the back line, the four, the five, the six, however many it is at the back. So,
yeah. Yeah, but it's just when you think that Sergio Aguero is going to be running at James Collins, then you start to get a bit worried.
Well, I don't know. City are, of course, 1 point off the top in the Premier League and undefeated, have yet to keep a clean sheet. They do have a big game coming up as well a couple of days after this, at home to Ajax in the Champions League, but you'd think they have a big enough squad, wouldn't you, Barry?
Do you think they will consider that game against Ajax a big game?
Do you think they've already written that
off?
Do
they reckon the jig is up already?
I don't know.
I mean, we've said already that teams have come back from similar pickles, but
not in that tougher group. Yeah, but I think whether or not they're getting out of the group, they have to exit with some dignity now, don't they?
Well, you could argue that ship has sailed, but yeah, I suppose, and they may still want to qualify for the Europa League, which, yeah, you know, if they won that, it'd be, I wouldn't imagine they would consider it beneath them at all.
All right. Okay. Did you know that if results go West Ham's way, they could finish the weekend in fourth place?
Wow.
They lost to Wigan last time. How's that possible, Jacob?
Just the way the
table
works.
They've been fiddling the table. They've hacked the Premier League computers. Something like that. Anyway, now, a couple of games we still haven't given quite the attention to we should. Fulham-Everton isn't one of them. And what about QPR's big bottom-of-the-table clash with Reading? The pressure's on QPR in this one, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah.
I mean, they've 3 points. They haven't won a game yet. And they're pretty awful. And for all the sort of encouraging clucking noises coming from Tony Fernandez about Mark Hughes, which I'm not sure, do they seem to have dried up a bit in recent weeks, or have I just missed them? They can't go on like this, and they will. I mean, a win here would be a huge result for them. It would rocket them up the table to possibly third from bottom.
Mm.
Or, well, it would, definitely, because Southampton don't play till Monday night. So,
yeah. Reading also yet to win a game this season, but you just feel that...
To have a lot more about them than QPR. Yesterday, I was doing the rumour mill, QPR were being linked with Paulo Ferreira, was it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, it just sort of reeks of desperation a bit.
Mm.
Not saying he's not a good player, but, you know, it's just who's available. Yeah, we'll have them, we'll have them. For the amount of money they've spent, they should be in a far better position. And Reading, as I say, do look to have a lot more about them, even though they only have 1 point more.
Right. Reading haven't made a huge number of signings since the arrival of their Russian money, but there is the suspicion that they might, having taken stock of the situation come January, go on a bit of a splurge.
Yeah. I don't think Reading I never really thought they were that good last season, even though they won the league. I think there was a lot of late wins, and I kind of think they're a bit out of their depth. But what you saw against Fulham last week is that the main thing about them is they have incredible character and they just keep plugging away. And a lot of teams would have just given up after going 2-1 and then 3-2 down at home to Fulham, but they kept on really just flinging the ball in the box and eventually got, you know, two equalisers. And in the end, they could have even won it, which is kind of what they did a lot last season, late goals.
Not very good at defending a lead, though, are they?
No, not very good at defending a lead, which they might have to do quite a lot against QPR.
Yeah.
No, right then.
That's QPR's tactic, go 4-0 down and then sorted.
This very much the blue and white hooped derby, of course. Can't believe we haven't mentioned that yet. And it kicks off an interesting series of games for QPR, which also features Southampton at home. That's after they go away to Stoke. Well, that's it for part two. More top insight after this when we have a look at your posts, hear about managers getting fired, and dip our toes into the wonderful world of Serie A. Right, it's going to be a short part three, Barry. Short.
But I thought we were dipping our toes into the wonderful
world.
I have this image now. You know those things you get on holidays where you sit and put your feet in a tank and all these little fish in AC Milan jerseys.
Get them on holidays?
Well, I saw a lot of them when I was on holidays.
Where did you go on holiday?
Greece.
All right.
Yeah, every second shop was a
really
fish eating your feet.
Right.
I don't mean tanks full of piranhas.
No,
right?
I understand. No, they were quite popular in England as well, but
stumps.
Health and safety came down like a ton of bricks on them because they're deeply unhygienic, apparently.
Oh, really?
It's a present for one of my friends.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit of a a poison chalice that you gave them because they're, as I say, health and safety not approved.
It was on a Groupon, like for £3.
So right, thanks, Tom. But again,
she never
right,
took
okay.
it.
So you could just keep it as a fish tank, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And just not put your feet in it. Alternatively, get a fish tank, put your feet in that.
She likes fish, so I thought she'd like
right.
having a feet.
Okay. Anyway, what were we talking about? Have I done it in a fish tank with a... No, I haven't. I haven't put my feet in a fish tank and had them nibble my feet. Although, I think we've all been at the sea and stood still long enough for fish to come up and have a little nibble. Because they do. Fish, they're crazy like that. Now, interesting analogy for the current state of Syria, much like the little fish that nibble the dead skin off your feet. And in many ways a telling one, Barry. But let's talk about Syria in a little bit, because first I want to talk about Henning Berg. Yep, the man who said back in the summer, there are no real managers with credibility who would accept a job like the Blackburn one, but today calls it a dream come true. How about that, Tom?
He is backtracking very, very quickly.
Yeah.
To be fair to Mr. Berg,
yes.
I would imagine you could troll through the Football Weekly archives and find no end of completely hypocritical things each and every one of us has said.
Probably curse you and your perspective, Barry.
Sorry.
Right. But anyway, there you are. So he's in at Blackburn. That's interesting. And Paul Wilson observing in today's Guardian that it's all a bit dull after all the talk of, what, Maradona and Harry Redknapp and Ian Holloway, even Alan Shearer. It's a bit too sensible.
It seems like a appointment to appease the notoriously fiery Blackburn fans rather than because Berg's a former player, won the league. With them.
And the Cup.
Carling
Cup.
I mean, if you look at his managerial record...
Right.
I think he got...
Doesn't take long, does it?
No. he didn't do particularly well at Lille Strom, which isn't... I don't think... It's not a massive recommendation.
Right. Is he Ole Gunnar Solskjaer light?
Oh, he's a bit heavier than Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, by the look of him.
I think, as far as I can tell, the Blackburn fans are fairly underwhelmed, but if he can do okay with them, they'll be happy. And
do you think?
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Oh, sorry. Well, you're making fun of me.
In other managerial merry-go-round news, Mick McCarthy confirmed as the new Ipswich manager on a three-year deal. Crystal Palace, they haven't appointed anyone yet, have they?
No.
No. After Doogie Freeman did one to Bolton. And with McCarthy at Ipswich and Berg at Rovers, that's now 12 English clubs who've changed managers in 3 weeks. 13% of the top four divisions. Interesting.
Yeah, I think McCarthy to Ipswich is a great appointment.
You do?
Yeah.
All right.
For the club.
Mm-hmm.
And for him. He's a good manager, nice guy, deserves a decent job. And I hope he does well.
Excellent news. Now, P. Daddy says, you mentioned injury at the hands of a training dummy. I bring you news of Oxford United's Adam Chapman and his burnt nipple. Yeah, quite a few people were mentioning this last week. He spilled boiling water on himself.
I think he was making baby formula to feed his child and was shaking the bottle and hadn't screwed the lid on properly and it spilled down his chest.
He wasn't attempting to pass it through his nipple or anything like
that? No. Right. Nothing sinister. Yeah. And, yeah, so he was just attending to his paternal duties, and now he's the subject of widespread ridicule.
Right. I'd say, what's he doing with
boiling
water?
Have you heard
about
Sean Ingle's ankle knack?
Well, yeah, I have.
He injured his ankle by getting run over by a children's cycling proficiency course.
I didn't know that.
That's not what he told me. He said he'd stepped off the curve.
Well, I'm exaggerating for comedy effect.
Right. In your vision, Barry, how did it unfold?
In my vision, he was probably jogging down the street in a Lycra onesie, and there was a row of very small children out doing their, probably wearing high-vis jackets, doing their cycling proficiency tests on little bicycles with ribbons hanging out of the handlebars and baskets on the front and possibly stabilisers on the back. And as they cycled towards Shawnee at top speed, he ducked out of the way, landed on a pavement, twisted and broke his ankle.
Broke his ankle by twisting it.
Didn't realise it was broken. He hobbled into the office for a week or so, showing everybody his ankle. Because Sean likes to show you his body parts in the office.
Mm-hmm.
To be fair, he is very buff, so, you know.
Yeah. Mm. Did he not break the other ankle?
Well, it turned out he had to go and see a specialist, and it turned out, I think it's broken on both sides or something. It's a lot worse than he originally feared. So
very painful injury.
He's sort of homebound now, and he's not allowed to do exercises or go training, which is killing him.
Yeah.
And he's not allowed to go into the office. But he was able to struggle into Hammersmith Apollo last Saturday to go and see Darrow Breen.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Well, I hope that brought a smile back to Sean.
I'm sure it was a very good show.
All right, good. There you go. I know all about the misery of broken bones myself, so nothing but sympathy.
You broke
Sean
a toe, haven't you?
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, two toes. Loving You says, who would want to referee a Chelsea game? Anders Frisk, death threats, retired as referee. Tom Ovrebo, death threats, no longer referees outside Norway. Mark Clattenburg, well, still pending. Papa Moa says, for the attention of Barry G, a list of super furry songs gussied up with footballers' names. These mean nothing to me, Barry. And equally, 23 kid went with Joy Division 2. She's lost Cointreau. FC 24 Hours, Joe Heart and Soul, Yogi Love Will Tear Us Apart, yeah, etc. There you go. That's probably enough bands and song titles that might sound like they've got a player name in them. And let's move on to Serie A. Oh, there's a big game this weekend. Do you know who it is between?
No.
Juventus, who are now 49 games, 48 games? One of those two.
Oh, and Inter.
Unbeaten. And Inter. Yeah, so, yeah, it's 49 games unbeaten for Juventus. And Inter, who have won their last 8 games in all competitions, are going to be visiting them in the Stadio, well, what used to be, not the Stadio dei Alpi, it's now called the Juventus Arena. This is a huge game, and we thought, you know, there was nobody who was going to stop Juve this year, but Inter absolutely roared back into contention. And both teams won at midweek. For Juve, it was that man Paul Pogba who did the business again. Right at the death, Inter thought they'd narrow the gap to just 2 points, but Pogba's winner means they go into it 4 points ahead of Inter. So huge match as Inter try and narrow the gap. Did you think Pogba was going to do well in Italy?
I didn't know much about him because I'd never seen him play for Manchester United.
They're loving him over there.
Yeah, they. I see in Paolo's midweek wrap that he had a series of pictures of Juventus players dressed up in Halloween costume.
Yes.
So you'd...
Pirlo was the Joker.
Yeah, and looked very sinister.
He did look sinister, it's true. Antonio Conte, who looks pretty sinister to start off with, was a kind of Dracula, kind of Conte Dracula thing. Who else was there? Buffon was Freddy Krueger. Didn't quite come off that one.
He's got quite a sinister face. I was thinking it was like really? Alice Cooper.
What?
Buffon.
No, he wasn't. He was Freddy Krueger.
No, but I think he looks like
He doesn't
Alice
look
Cooper.
Anything like Alice Cooper.
I've been saying that for years. Nobody's ever disagreed. Nobody's ever agreed with me, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just kind of smiled and nodded and walked away.
Yeah. I'll just stop saying it.
In the old days, though, you know, what a club would get dressed up proper. They'd actually get some makeup and put some costumes on. But this is basically just some bloke in the Juve office with a bit of Photoshop, and he just dolled these pictures out. I was a little bit underwhelmed by it. In the old days, Sampdoria, they used to do terrific calendars every year where they'd all dress up as pirates and stuff and go, arr, at the camera. I love that kind of thing.
But Europeans don't really do Halloween, do they?
Who?
Not like the Americans. I mean, I didn't have a single knock on the door last night.
Did you bought supplies? No. I'd bought supplies.
No, I'd completely forgotten.
Did you put a pumpkin outside?
No, but...
I can tell you from trick-or-treat duty that you don't bother ringing the doorbell unless there's some sign that you're going to get a welcome from.
Oh, really?
There's too many doors out there. You go for the ones with pumpkins and paraphernalia.
I bought 4 drumsticks and a cream egg for the kids.
Boy, you really splashed out.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Well, I'm not made out of money.
Right.
What did you get?
Nothing.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, back to Pogba. He's doing really well, and he keeps getting on the front page of the Gazzetta dello Sport, and they call him the new Vieira, and I see that Messaggero called him Light Hurricane Sandy, and he was totally he beat Bologna on his own, as the Gazzetta dello Sport put it. So there you go. He's a man to watch, but Inter in all sorts of form. Cambiasso's looking brilliant there. Cassano's looking brilliant. They do play very well away from home. They're great on the break. So it's a huge game, that one. Huge.
How do you think it will go?
I don't know. Draw? As you said before, predictions, eh? Who'd do them?
Well, you occasionally come up with a gem.
Yeah, so but I didn't last week.
You don't have a feeling about
this
one.
I tipped Catania, and unfortunately the refs did for my prediction. But never mind.
Sorry, actually, going back to your mystic Jimbo-ness, did I get the feeling earlier that you think Swansea might do a number on Chelsea?
Yeah, but then as I thought about it a bit more... I don't have any special feelings about this week, I'm ashamed to say. Roma, they lost again. And this was after the intercity train, the special Pendolino Express that was going between Naples and Milan, made an unscheduled 40-minute stop at Parma Station on Tuesday to drop them off for their game there. Interesting, that, isn't it?
Why does it take them 40 minutes?
I don't know why it took them 40 minutes to get off the train, but they weren't even meant to stop there. And other passengers on the train have now reported the train company to the consumer's body, the consumer's, you know, champions thing. It's interesting, isn't it? So they just went, oh, well, we need to get off here because we've got a football match. What were they doing on the train in the first place if it doesn't even stop there? Anyway, bizarre story. I'd like to get to the bottom of that one. So they eventually got off, taking 40 minutes, because presumably they had loads of bags with boots and stuff on a train they shouldn't even been on in the first place. And the train was allowed to depart. And then Roma went and played at the Tardini against Parma, who had yet another win and rocketed further up the table. It was a disastrous pitch. And Zeman was blaming... Zeman is not one for excuses, generally speaking. But he blamed the pitch for this one. I think that's fair, having watched it, because it was one of those ridiculous... It shouldn't really have been played. Every time they kicked the ball, it would kind of suddenly stop as if there were magnets under the field and the ball was itself magnetic and stuff. But it was worth noting for another great goal by Eric Lamella, who absolutely looks the business.
Not just on the subject of waterlogged pitches, I watched about 40 minutes of the next-gen match between Man City and Juventus.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And it was like the pitch was for that England-Poland game that was
the one they
postponed.
Didn't play.
The one they didn't play on. But I think watching a game in those conditions is magnificently entertaining.
Imagine if it was a League Cup game in those conditions. That'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. He said, neatly bring it full circle as we come to the end of today's Football Weekly Extra. Many thanks for joining us, unless you've got anything else you wanted to add, Jacob. Nope. You haven't said anything for ages. What's going on?
You could ask Jacob about the quiz he was in on Tuesday.
Oh, Jacob.
More quiz news.
Yeah, we finished third.
Who's on your team?
James Dart, Scott Murray and Daniel Harris.
Right. It's not a first choice lineup, is it?
Jonathan Wilson in Argentina.
Yeah.
Rob Smythe in Denmark.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. We beat the Blizzard. That was a big thing.
Right. Well, equally, they had Jonathan. Who would he have played for?
He would have played for us, I think.
Do you think because against his own creation?
Well, I asked him first before the Blizzard were invited. So.
Wow. Yeah. So who actually won this?
4-4-2. They beat us by 2 points.
And who was on their team? Horncastle?
No, he was on the Blizzard side.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Confusing.
The moment of the night was one of our member of our team walking past a... it's an unnamed magazine, we'll say.
Tell us the name of the magazine.
No, I'm not saying. Accidentally knocking over one of their drinks, but the sort of very end of the drink, saying sorry, walking off, and another of their table coming over and saying, this is where you get him a new drink. Problem being, it's a free bar, so what's the problem?
Well, there you go, then. Many thanks, Jacob. Many thanks, Tom Lutz. Many thanks, Barry Glendinning. And a special gratitude to Ben Producer. We'll be back on Monday, so see you then.
And don't forget to check out Jimbo's paper review. There's a brand new one up every Friday at guardian.co.uk/football. Worth.